Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Here at Podcast One, we love hearing from you. We read every tweet and comment you send our way. So don't miss your chance to take our summer listener survey. Just go to podcastone.com and click on the survey banner. Or go to podcastone.com/my survey. It only takes a few minutes, and it gives you the opportunity to make a direct impact on your favorite shows. Tell us how you really feel so we can get to know you better. We value your thoughts and participation. So check out the survey at podcastone.com/my survey. Or click on the survey banner on podcastone.com.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that you love CarCast, Car Peoples. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Matt the Motorator. DeAndre over there.
Hello.
And Jeremy Fry, stunt driver. Jeremy Fry.
How you doing?
Pretty good.
And I'm guessing you'd probably be a stunt coordinator as well, right?
That is happening, yes.
So Baby Driver was the movie I most recently saw, where Jeremy was doing all the driving, but also Dark Knight Rises, Jason Bourne, John Wick, Batman versus Superman. So you're pretty accomplished in this space. Baby Driver, amazing driving.
Fun film.
And I know it was done, there was little to no CGI in there, right?
That's correct.
That's just you driving.
Yeah, and praying.
But yeah, because there's a lot of traffic coming the other way and lots of freeway, big cement pylons and stuff you're going in and out of.
Yeah. We had shut the 85 down in Atlanta, which was one of the first times they'd done that, and it was a very big deal to shut it down. Then we didn't have to go back and shut it down again to get pickup shots.
So. Right. Must be kind of cool doing it, like, on a real highway in a real city in a real environment, and it has to have a kind of a bizarre feeling because you're essentially portraying someone who's breaking the law, but you're essentially doing that yourself.
Yeah. It's not a big stretch. You're what you're supposed to be doing, you're actually doing. Funny enough, the resets, after you do a take, you have to reset back to number one, which is where you begin from. The resets were pretty much as exciting as the actual takes, because we're following these cops, and these cops sit around all day to write parking tickets. So when they get to actually race through track with the lights on, they're flying. So we're flying through live traffic just to try to keep up with these cops who aren't looking back.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Full sirens, full lights, racing through the city just to get back to number one. That was crazier than the actual take.
I just watched John. So I watched Baby Driver, and then the other night I watched John Wick, or maybe it was John Wick 2. Can't remember. Lots of he took the Mustang and beat the crap out of the Mustang. But there's this great part where he pulls in after, he destroyed the car, but then he pulls in and his buddy, who's John Leguizamo.
Yeah.
John Leguizamo does one of those things where he goes, radiator's busted, front end's all caved in. Then he gets inside and he goes, drive shaft's destroyed. And I'm like, not the drive shaft. That part does work, because he wouldn't.
Yeah,
he wouldn't be here if the drive shaft didn't work. But
don't ruin John Wick for me.
I don't know why. Can we have straight guys read the script and go, no, don't say that. First off, you wouldn't like crouch down in front of the car and go, drive shaft shot to hell. Like, or if it was, it would be on the ground. But if it was on the ground, you wouldn't have just pulled up. Like, there's just like pretty much one or two parts you have to kind of stay away from.
I just watched the end of Gone in 60 Seconds, where the brother gives him the smashed up Shelby. He's like, no, I bought it. And he goes, give me a couple of weeks and this thing will be perfect. I was like, a couple of weeks? Did you see this thing? What could you do that scene in 2 weeks? This is overhauling. Can't do it in 2 weeks.
Find that Leguizamo thing. That must have been two. Is that one or two?
I think that's one.
That was two.
That was two.
That was two. Did you drive in two or just in one?
I did drive in two. I didn't write the dialogue.
But you're driving the Mustang.
Did you cringe when you heard that line?
Yes, and it was funny because I'm watching it going, yes, no.
Not the drive shaft.
Come on, guys, come on.
You know what it is? Because people, if you would have told that guy, because we talk about this all the time. We talk about...
Not just on the air, just like for fun at home.
we're sitting around, and I was like, why is there a Lamborghini Aventador hanging in the office in Dallas Buyers Club from 1985? It's a modern car. Yeah. Like, and they would, you know what they tell you? Oh, nobody but you sees that stuff. Nobody cares, you know. And you, if you said to them, like, you don't say drive shaft, camshaft, who cares? Like, nobody's listening. It's like, well, okay, why are you writing dialogue then? Why does the guy just grunt? Like, well, why do you write? Yeah. Let's distill this. What is the purpose of you writing dialogue if nobody cares or nobody's listening?
And that mistake is different because the Dallas Buyers Club thing that you and I were talking about is like somebody is there going, that's not the right pen from 1985. That's not the right clothes from 85. That's not the right desk. Well, from that. So everything is right except for the Aventador, which came out in 2011.
Yeah, the small details, right?
Right. And it's not like a little, like a business card with the Aventador on it. Like it's a giant poster behind his head center in the scene.
Yeah.
And as much as they think people don't notice, there are probably a half a dozen websites going, what's wrong with this goddamn movie because of that poster?
Yeah, it's funny. We did, I worked on Public Enemies, and the director's known for authenticity, and everything down to the detail is accurate. Well, they show up with, recreating a bank robbery, they show up with not just the kind of car, not just a similar car, the car that was used in the robbery, like the very car that was driven away.
Yeah.
And they said, ah, we got to have four doors. We got to. So they brought in another car. They're so sticklers for details, except when it comes to the big stuff.
Yeah.
We got to have four. This is the actual car. Well, I don't like it.
Now, Jeremy rode a motorcycle over here, and he did something which I love, and I don't get, like, And I think, like, you know, Jeremy's a professional stunt driver, so he understands risk, but he's wearing a reflective vest, and he has a very brightly and ornate helmet that he wears. And when I see people driving around with the flat black helmet and the black leather jacket, and for some reason the flat black bothers me even more, first off, I don't know, you know, around these parts of the woods, it's been 117 degrees, like, all last week. I couldn't imagine putting a flat black helmet on and then just getting on my bike and heading out for a ride. I feel like your brain would start to liquefy, number one. Number two, could there be a worse way to be seen on this motorcycle than a flat black helmet with a black leather jacket? And these guys, they think they're badasses, but they're essentially invisible badasses. And I'm guessing most bad motorcycle accidents happen when a motorist doesn't see you. And the flat black helmet with the flat black jacket is a real good way to not be seen. And so I always said, like, I'd have a fucking orange helmet so I could be, I would wink at them with my orange helmet in the rear view mirror versus the black, and you wear a reflective vest.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially in LA, people are on their phone more than they're driving.
And yeah.
Yeah, I got to get home, and I'm not going to have my wife try to find some other dude to raise the kids.
So. Right. Also, if you're going to put yourself in danger, you're going to get paid for it.
Yeah. Right? Exactly. Exactly.
So it always amazes me because when you look up, like, when you IMDb successful stunt people like yourself, you guys work so much. It seems like you have so many credits to your name. Like, I don't know how long you've been in the business. I don't know, 15 years or something. But I don't know, you've done 100 things, 200 things, like something ridiculous, right?
Yeah. I've been in about 17 years. It can be a little misleading, though, because you can work. You can work for 6 months on one show and do all kinds of stuff, but you get one credit. Or in 3 weeks, you can work on five different shows, and then you get five credits. So it can be a little misleading, but no, I'm very fortunate and very blessed to have had as many A-list shows as I've been able to be a part of.
And I'm assuming once people work with you, and it's the same with the caterers. Like, once they find someone they like, they want them for the next production. Yeah. And I know... We talked to Tanner Faust about doing the driving in Red Dawn and sitting in the back of the pickup truck and steering the car while the actors were in the car. And I've never really fully been able to kind of work that out or picture it. We're looking at you now sitting on top of the Subaru driving the car from on top of the car. So the car is filled up with cameras
and it's
filled up with the talent. Mm-hmm. And then you're having to go drive the car and put the car through its paces by literally sitting in a roll cage on top of the car. Now, the picture we're looking at now is you sitting there. I imagine you'd wear a helmet.
Yeah, that picture obviously was taken. I was just moving the car around. We didn't have talent in there. It wasn't at speed. So, but when we do it at speed, it's full helmet. It's full safety gear. Yeah. Robert Nagel did most of the driving with the pod car stuff, but it's a different animal. You're up there. You feel like in a parade, but when you got to slide a car around up top, you feel everything the car does.
I can't.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm. Oh my God. Well, I want to get into this for
a second.
I like
the side mirrors. Like at this point, like, what's the point?
That's just for resetting. Just backing up.
There you go.
Yeah, got to get the boat on the trailer, man.
That's right.
All right. I want to know about driving. What's it like sliding a car up there? And then always funny to hear what the actors feel like, because, of course, the actors, they're not acting at that point. They're pretty much just freaking. Well, it's kind of interesting because, all right, I'm going to tease this. When Tanner did it in Red Dawn, the actors were supposed to be freaked out the whole time, and so no need to act. They were freaked out because Tanner's driving through fences and over lawns and by oak trees at 60 miles an hour, and so they were freaked out. Now, in Baby Driver, the actor's very composed, who's driving the car, and he's almost expressionless because he's that cool a customer.
Yeah.
So how does that actor stay that composed when you're up on the roof? And by the way, everyone else in the car in Baby Driver is not freaking out over the fact that they're drifting in a full drift around a corner. So that is acting, because yeah. Now
they're fantastic actors.
You're
on just
top
some really good people.
I want to know. I'm curious. But first, I'll tell you about FanDuel. Ooh, football. It's back, which means FanDuel is back. Fantasy football for everyday fans. New contests start every week. No busted season. So, you know, play fantasy football. You can bust out early. You know, some guys get injured, whatever. You got screwed on a trade. FanDuel, you never bust, man. Lots of contests to choose from. Starting at just $1, just pick a contest, choose your team, watch your score in real time. Over 2.5 million players have won a cash prize. Football's starting. Matt, you don't care, but for the rest of the dudes, they care. I care. FanDuel, go to FanDuel.com, click the Join Now button, use my code CARCAST. With the first deposit on FanDuel, new users get free entry into the NFL Sunday Million, over $1 million in cash prizes. So, check it out.
Just curious, is FanDuel just football? Can you bet on other
I
stuff?
I think it's just football.
You think?
We'll look into it. I'm pretty sure.
I feel like some of these gangsters in the studio over there, Kaylin and Chris, should be like, what else can you bet on? There's got to be, like, probably seasonal you can do a thing, like, all the time, right? I was just wondering, like, because the Mayweather fight that we watched the other day.
Well, I don't know. You guys got to. You guys can look at it, and if they don't, then you probably have to cut this part out, because they're probably not going to want to hear it.
They'll be like, no, we're trying to expand our business.
FanDuel.com. Visit FanDuel.com. Sign up for the promo code CARCAST. Use the promo code CARCAST, and you can get yourself into that NFL Sunday Million competition.
Every major sport.
Every major sport.
See,
all right.
Just makes
there
good
go.
Business sense.
Every major sport at FanDuel. All right. So, how are those guys? I don't know the name of the lead actor. Let's say
Ansel.
Ansel is supposed to be put his earbuds in and be very calm while you're on the roof sliding this Subaru around corners. How did that work?
It works really well. He was he did a really good job. It's very interesting though. You mentioned the actors having to act like they're not scared or not nervous, and you can see a difference from take one to take five. You know, the first couple ones, you can definitely read on their face. But the more they do it, the more used to it they get.
Right.
So, and Ansel had a lot of time in the car, a lot of time in the car with me. And a lot of times we'll give demonstrations outside the car. We'll have them stand outside. We'll show them what the cars can do so that they can be a little more comfortable when they jump in. Because it is a very surreal feeling to jump in the driver's seat behind the wheel and the pedals and everything and have no control whatsoever. And now the car is moving.
Right. Yeah, most people do not do well with that. Like, most people's wiring I may be an exception. I'm fine with it. But most people don't, you know, the autonomous car is going to go turn a lap at Willow Springs and you're just going to sit in the passenger seat. Like most people, my dad, every time he gets in my car, uses an imaginary brake that's on the floorboard of, like, maybe if we moved to England, he'd have more luck. But I can see his foot, like, pushing brakes and stuff. And I just go, Dad, you can't slow the car down.
You should put
a
brake pedal there and be like, the brake is totally up to you on this trip. Yeah. Like, you have to do this.
But it's a mindset and, like, a decision you have to make, which is, for me, it's always like this. Either this car's going to crash or it's not going to crash. Me being super tense is not really going to affect that. So once you get in the car, you go, we're probably not going to crash, but we might crash. But since there's nothing that I can do sitting over here, I'm just going limp. Like I got in my 935 with the guy who's the track instructor over at Sonoma, and he's like, we're gonna see what this car can do. And I just remember thinking, God, this car is pulling a lot of G's. Like, you think it's gonna break loose, but it doesn't break loose as he starts throwing it in the corner. But it's like, wow, this thing's sticky. But if it comes unstuck, you just get this feeling like we're going fast. But I just remember thinking, I'm just going totally limp. Like, I'm not even gonna put my hand on the dash. Like, I'm just gonna literally become a rag doll.
If you trust the driver or not, like that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, some guys are better than others. The very first one, they've come a long way. The very first one I drove was an early pod car on a different show on Gamer with Gerard Butler.
They call them pod cars.
Pod cars, yes. Because you have your driver's pod.
Right.
And I'm going through this debris. There's a bunch of cars around, and I'm racing up on this car. I'm about to make a move, and all of a sudden as I make the move, the car just slams to a stop. And I had no idea what it was. We almost hit some other stuff. And Gerard sticks his head out the window and goes, sorry, mate. That was me. That was me. Because he hit the brake. Because brake was still functioning, unfortunately. Right. We learned from there, you gotta cover it up because they have no control. And he just instinctually just slammed on the brake.
Right.
Ah, so the first time the actor scared you.
And everything's just hydraulic up there, right? I saw a lot of hydraulic hoses coming from up there.
Early ones were mechanical, which were interesting. They'd run these mechanical shafts with a bunch of U-joints down the A-pillar. But now they've all gotten into hydraulic steering.
Hydraulics. Right. I'm curious, when you film something like this, because we're looking at a picture again, the pod car, and they're filming on the inside while you're driving around. How does the driver, in this case, Ansel, know when to turn? Like, how many is it? Do you get to talk to him? Like, in this movie, he's got his earbuds the whole time. So why aren't you going left, 3, 2, 1, and have him turn left and sync up and film?
When you're shooting inside,
because it's not CGI. Like, CGI, you think, like, all right, we're going to get Vin Diesel to turn left and right 7 times.
And you can just manipulate.
And then we'll put it in.
Right. No, you can't do that here, but you can hide a lot of sin with the cameras, especially inside. You can't tell exactly what's going on. And you spend enough time in the car with the guys and you talk them through, hey, we're going to go up here, we're going to do this. And so they kind of anticipate it and they know it. They kind of feel it.
So when you take 3 or 4 times in, the first couple times, Ansel's like, I don't know what we're doing. And then we know we're going to turn right, we know we're going to turn left.
Well, but he's also saying, you're shooting back at him, so it's forgiving. Like, I think if you're shooting forward, you'd see he's not, well, how he's holding the wheel straight and you're turning right, but if you're shooting at him, he's doing this, and the background's all over the place.
I get you don't have to see him do it at the same time, but sort of mid-corner, he should be turned a little to the right, but other than that, the first take, you're just holding on for life going.
But that's one reason we train with these guys a lot, too, and when they really care about having things authentic, I'll say, look, it's small moves, and hey, you know, you don't want the guy making a little turn and he cranks the wheel 2 times. For me, that drives me nuts. So you tell him it's a little bit here, and maybe, and what happens is it's going to slide a little bit, so give it a little counter steer too. And the more they train, the more that makes sense. So we start speaking the same language.
Yeah.
So the conversations are quick and easy, and he sells it.
You'll notice it in the film. It looks good.
It looks great. And the thing that's the pod thing is weird to me because it's so much weight up top. And obviously, it's not where you want the weight. And, you know, taking a car like that and sliding it with that kind of weight up top feels like totally counterintuitive. Mm-hmm. And it's the kind of thing where I think if somebody would have pitched me the pod idea many years ago, I would have said, by the time we, like, rig everything, couldn't we just take the guy to Bondurant and like kind of walk him through, like, I mean, just teach him how to use, do an e-brake and pitch it a little bit, like, and then he'll be just driving the car. And then I think, I don't know, is that an insurance thing? Because it seems to me that must be an insurance thing.
Yeah, that's what you do. So many decisions are based on money and risk. And, you know, if he messes up, you've got all kinds of issues. So we'll just do this. It frees. Some actors are better than others at being able to, you know, pat their head, their stomach and rub their head or whatever. So he can, that way he can concentrate on his acting and not worry about the stuff.
Well, that's why you need me, because the great, who was it? Tommy Kendall.
Yeah.
When I used to do his test, he did that test drive show. What was that show?
With I think Tommy it was Kendall. Called Test Drive?
It's called Test Drive? Yeah.
Something like that.
Something like that. He'd get these stupid Dodge station wagons, you know, Magnum station wagon and stuff like that.
It's before he got like his Mercedes sponsorship for that show. You were on an early episode.
I was on early episodes. And we would go to like Willow Springs and do like lead follow. I remember that Dodge, what were those things? Dodge Magnum wagons or something. I literally had like three pieces of that car fall off with just doing a couple of hot laps. Like I didn't put it in the dirt or anything. Yeah. Just pieces were coming, falling off the car. It's like a brand new car. And we were going around and we were coming into the horseshoe or whatever turn. It was 1, 2, 3 or something. I don't remember. And like it was a station wagon. You know, the thing was like getting loose big time.
Yeah.
And we were wired up talking to each other, you know, and he's playing, he's screwing around. It's a fun show to do.
We like Tommy.
Tommy's a cool guy. And we're talking and having fun and busting chops and stuff like that. But he always said, I do the show with everybody and everyone's all chatty until they get loose. And then once they get loose, they shut up like that. And he said, you keep talking. I said, well, what's the difference? Like, why? What do I need to talk about?
Yeah.
I'm loose. I can feel I'm loose. I don't need to discuss it or it doesn't. I'm not using that part of my brain. But he said, everyone else shuts up and you don't shut up. I said, well, that's because I like talking.
And getting loose.
And getting loose and talking. So they do Baby Driver 2, and they need a wheel man.
There you go.
Who's easily insured to spit out some dialogue and throw that Subaru around the streets of Atlanta.
No pod needed.
I may be your man. No pod needed.
I'll tell you what you need. Geico.
Oh, yeah. That's a good thing.
Everybody's got a to-do list. They drop off dry cleaning, pick up some milk, maybe drive stunt cars, who knows. And you can save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. And you don't have to drop or pick up anything. You just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket. Again, you know, I just bought AN fittings. I bought some braided fuel line. It was too hot to install those things this past week, and then I got them. And Geico, it's the most rewarding to do you do today. Geico.com.
Geico, baby.
Yeah.
I don't like the no pod idea, but I know what you're saying when you say no pod. We don't need the pod strapped on side. Now, the pods.
It's also like your livelihood, the pod idea, right? It's a big part of
the pod. Yeah, job security.
They seems like they've got to make changes to the car to accommodate the weight and the real high roll center.
Well, four people in the car, too.
Yeah. I mean, already, like, you know, spring rates and sway bars got to be drastically increased.
Well, that's what's nice about, we use Subarus for the, he goes through a couple cars, a couple different chases. The big chase for me, the one I'm most proud of, is the opening one, the Subaru. And that's one of the cars we potted. We also potted an Avalanche. But the nice thing about the Subaru is you can go online and in 5 minutes have full rally spec suspension on its way to the door. So that's what we'll do.
Was that an indicator of why that car was chosen for that film, or that was just...
No.
Months earlier, there was a storyboard with a Subaru, and they're like, let's do this.
No, I want to say it was storyboarded with like a Civic, some kind of Honda, and then there was some discussion about, hey, let's get something that's got a little more following, a little more panache. So it was picked. Nagel actually suggested the WRX, and it was a great, great choice.
Those are such fun cars to drive, and it seems like for the kind of driving that you're having to do, just a front-wheel drive Honda seems I don't know, not very gonna fit the bill.
I thought it was appropriate John for the
Wick,
character.
You have the too. John Wick scene. Is this John 2? This is Wick 2? 2. All right, let's hear about that broken drive shaft.
Yeah. Nice peaceful place you got here.
Hey, over there.
John, what the hell? I thought you loved this car.
What do you think?
Well, your motor's about to fall out, and the chassis is all bent up.
All right.
The drive shaft is all destroyed, and I don't know if you noticed, but you got a crack in your windshield.
Well, now, the chassis being all bent up, that thing kind of right, but...
Yeah, the front. Front
say the frame or whatever, yeah. But I don't know about... First, starting off with the engine's about to fall out is kind of retarded, because, first of all, you can't squat in front of a car unless the thing's...
If you bust the motor mount, you could see it. But I think that one was a little bit like him being, hey, you really
I'm fine
a lot
with
of
that, but the drive shaft...
But he drove the car there?
He drove the car there at 140 miles an hour. So, by the way, maybe...
Yeah, well, that's how you keep it cool. I mean, at this point, there's no water in it. Might as well just get a bunch of air.
The drive shaft was destroyed?
Yeah, it's all messed up.
He just pulled up.
That's what had happened.
It was a steep driveway.
He scraped it. That's stupid. Okay, what just... okay, and here's what everyone says to me. Why do you care? And it's like, I don't know. Why don't you do your job? Like, we'll leave it alone. Okay, then do your job and I'll leave it alone. Otherwise, I can't leave it alone. Now I'm sitting in a movie and I'm bumped because the drive shaft. And then you can go... Well, but nobody knows. All right, well, then make it right anyway.
Make it right.
Just make it right anyway. If you're doing a thing, if you're making a movie 100 years from now, and you're talking about Super Bowl number one, where, and I'll screw this up, but Super Bowl number one, where the Green Bay Packers beat the Colts, 17-3, then don't say 17-7. Just say 17-3. And you can go, well, who's going to know? And it's like, I don't know. There was a score. Just make it the score. Then we can leave.
It's
Jesus like, Christ.
If the whole world didn't have Google and you had to go to the library on microfiche to look this up, I get it.
Not since there's two movies that bug the shit out of me. Jeremy, you got to tell us. You got to have a list of these two. There's the scene, of course, in Ghost Rider when he was jumping from the goalpost to the goalpost, and he kept saying 300 feet, but the goalposts are in the back of the end zones, and it's 10 yards. It's an extra 30 feet on each side, so it's 360 feet. You didn't miss it by 5 feet. You missed it by 60 feet, and the announcers are saying it, and he's saying it. Like, nobody's ever... And they keep saying field goal to field goal. Field goal is what you do. You kick a field goal.
Yeah.
A goalpost is what you kick it through. So... They keep going, 300 feet, field goal to field goal. And it's like, goalpost to goalpost, 360 feet, since they moved them to the back of the end zones. And the field is 100 yards. The goalposts are in the back. I don't know how this happens. There's not one teamster standing around and goes, I played a little high school ball. The goalposts are in the back part, not at the goal line.
And the terminology is wrong. Because whoever wrote it doesn't like football, cars and motorcycles,
if you write,
is not good at math.
If you wrote Ghost Rider, you know nothing about sports. You hate sports. You're a super fucking nerd. And then the other one was on a road trip where they're doing a thing where they have to like jump the Ford Taurus over the bridge. And they're like, all right, four of us. Oh, we're traveling 40 miles an hour. The car weighs 1,300 pounds.
Like what? What
you,
half?
You got a Super 7? You got a Lotus Super fucking 7? Like, you're jumping over. It's a full-size Ford Taurus. It's information that is easily... First off, you should know. You should just know. You should know that a Ford Taurus is 4,000-plus pounds. You should know, but if you don't...
You're right.
Go fucking look it up. Don't tell me 1,200 pounds.
If he ballparks something closer, he's like, 5,000 pounds.
No, 45 seconds on Google would fix so many of these problems.
Right, right.
You get not only a Ford Taurus at 12 or 14, I don't know, it's like 1,300 pounds, but you've actually built a car that doesn't exist because there is no road going, like maybe an aerial atom.
Yeah.
But that hadn't been invented when this movie came out.
You can't put four stoners in it.
Right. Jesus fucking Christ.
But the continuity thing, the Dallas Buyers Club Aventador poster is the latest version of Transformers open the hood and the double pumper whatever car with the eight-stack injection on it has an eighth throttle.
We got a double pumper on there. And you got cross flow ram injected, and you hear her voice going, double pumper with blackjack headers or whatever she said. Like, oh, ho! She said high-rise manifold.
That's right, high-rise.
Did not have a high-rise manifold.
No.
She said double pumper with a high-rise.
Yeah.
No high-rise, no double pumper. What the fuck? Like, who's writing this?
Wait, Chris says road trip.
All right, now we got to know. But Jeremy, who's writing high-rise with a double pumper, and we're looking at cross-flow injecting?
I'd like to think that their intentions are good. On the first John Wick, the director called me over and said, hey, he's got to come over. He's got to look at this. He's got to say something quick that he would know the guys didn't do the job on the car. What would they do? So he came with something pretty cool. Never made the movie, but it was legitimate. It was something that, like you said, most people never know. They don't know if the guy says spark plug or exhaust header. They don't care. But one's right, one's wrong. But the guys who do care, and it makes difference to me, makes difference to you. So I gave him something good and never made the cut. But then they, like you said, they throw this stuff in there. You go, oh.
Drive shafts all destroyed.
So how did you get here? I was doing 140 on the back of the AAA flatbed.
All right, let me hear this part. It's driving me nuts.
This incline here is 30 degrees roughly, right? The factory weight of the car is 1,600 pounds. Add our weight plus cargo, we're talking 2,100.
Factory, 1,600 pounds for a four-door Taurus. Oh, if they could do that, first off, made of like space age honeycomb carbon weave with an all aluminum block.
It's a $3 million Taurus. I mean,
filled with helium.
Right. Yeah, the gas mileage. I think four Taurus getting 61 miles per gallon. We only weigh
800 pounds of people and luggage.
They were probably so proud of themselves when they wrote it, too. Like, how much? I don't know, 5,000? That's way too much. 500? Maybe. Let's just go.
Somebody was trying to be smart and do the math, and they said X whatever Y meets whatever, and they did the math of the angle and the speed and the length of the jump, and then they entered in. The result was weight, and the perfect weight would have been 1,600 pounds.
But he
that's
said
not what a Taurus weighs.
He
right.
said factory weight, like that makes it official. Factory. All right, I'm angry. I'm going to put myself in a better mood right now. All right, I want to know when we come back, we're not going anywhere, but is the high-rise with the double pumper, is that more egregious than the 1,600 pounds factory weight or the drive shaft or the football field?
All right, let's talk
and the
about
300
that.
Feet. I want to know what's a bigger attack, a bigger assault to your gearhead intelligence. First, I'll tell you about Simply Safe. Heads up. It's the last week of Simply Safe's home security biggest ever summer sale. $100 off the special summer package. Everything you need to protect your home and family. An arsenal of security sensors, panic button, blaring an extra siren, wireless connection to authorities. Your family, your home, and everything in it stays safe around the clock. No long-term lock-in contracts, no installation costs, no hidden fees. Super easy. Protect your home. Peel and stick. The batteries last up to 10 hours. No drilling and pulling wires. Not a mess. Sale ends this week. Go to simplysafe.com/Adam. That's simplysafe.com/Adam. There's two I's in there. simplisafe.com/Adam. I have it. Mike August has it. Dawson has it. Let's do it, people. All right. First you, Jeremy. The most egregious offense.
Between those two, easy. The weight. I don't know if they're trying to fool anyone. They're just, everyone knows the car weighs something. Anyone with basic math knows you got to have weight, angle, speed. That's fine. There's not much work put in that. But they really tried to fool someone with the double pumper, the high rise. They had to do a little bit of research to figure out what could be under there. So they tried and they failed. I'd rather have someone just not even try.
Right. So you say the double pumper.
Yeah.
Yeah. My theory on that is that the script was written, obviously, long before they got the car and the engine and everything together. And so they wrote the script, and they had the script. And then the word went out, hey, it's a junker car with a killer jewel of an engine. So just get the killerest jewel. And some guy said, well, you know what's killer is cross ram injection with the ports and the whole mm-hmm. 9 yards. Yeah. So we'll do that. So that's the engine that was in the car a year after the script went out. And then they never changed the script. But somebody, when they popped yeah. the hood, because in that scene, they're trying to let people know that Megan Fox is an expert in cars because her dad used to boost cars and she grew up around cars. But you're letting me know mm-hmm. she's a hot actress that doesn't know shit about cars because she's describing the opposite yeah. of what I'm seeing. So mission not accomplished.
Okay, I agree with Jeremy. Transformers is the one that irritates me the most because I think it's like when you're doing the crossword puzzle in the newspaper in one of the kids' books with all the games, and then you turn the page upside down and all the answers are there, you mm-hmm. know, at the bottom. Mm. That's what they did. They opened the hood. That was turning the page up. Then they showed you the answer, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So when she said high-rise double pumper and then cut to clearly not that, like the math, you could have been like, yeah, there's a bunch of people going, I don't know what a Taurus weighs. Who cares, right? But in that movie, they show you the answer. So right. now there's probably people Googling, what's a high-rise double pumper, and getting pictures of that stupid car going, I guess that's what it is.
Well,
that's fake news.
Speaking,
that's fake news.
You're right. Speaking of poisoning the next generation, Max Patty, you're going to have to talk to Gary about this, but one of my son's favorite books when he was growing up was just the book that had all the pictures of the fire truck and the airport fuel truck and the skip loader. And when he was 3, he'd just point and be like, skip loader, fire truck, you know, yeah. airport fire truck. Like he
oh
knew.
Oh my God, I'm definitely making that book. High rise double pumper, cross ram fuel injection. That's going to be the only book I give to kids.
He knew them all. But in the place, now this is what drove me nuts. In the spot where it said minivan, they had a picture of a 6-wheel custom van.
Oh, like a 6x6.
Twin axles in the rear. But the opposite of a minivan. Like, this is... by the way, now he's going to think, hey, I want a minivan.
That's badass.
I'm going to get laid in that minivan for sure. Captain's chairs and a Blaupunkt. So I'm like, you couldn't rustle up a picture of the most ubiquitous vehicle on the planet.
Like, yeah, Cook would be pissed.
If you told me right now, here's your iPhone, you need to be back here with a picture of a minivan, and I'll give you 21 seconds, I would say I'll take that bet. I'll just run out in the street, and I'll get a picture of a minivan and get back here in under 21 seconds. You can't find a picture of a minivan, and it was a 6-wheeled custom van, and it was his favorite book, but it drive me nuts. And
did you cross it out?
I think I did. My wife was like, oh, who cares? I'm like, first off, how do we trust these people to do anything? You cannot. And how does this go all the way through the editorial process and stuff when you're going, that is a custom van? And by the way, it's one with six
two rear axles. It, drive minivans.
Right. It drove me insane. All that being said, the most egregious is still Ghost Rider, because
Ghost Rider.
Everybody knows that a football field is 100 yards. No, it's 100 yards. It's 300 feet. And they actually moved the goalpost in 1971. They moved them to the back of the end zone. And the ramps were literally on the goalpost. Like, they built them up to the edge of each goalpost, and he was going to jump. So it's like, that is as insanely obvious as any, and they mentioned it multiple times, because they'd be like, I'm going for the record. He's going for 300 feet. That's a new record. And then the announcer would go, he's just made 300. It's like they've said it multiple times. Yes. And the drive shaft, yes, probably far, a little further
Chris, you
got to
bring up the photo of, look for Dallas Buyers Club Lamborghini Aventador.
Yeah, and as far as the van goes, I probably brought the stupid book in. and probably had Gary take a picture. The thing that always pissed me off about the minivan was not that it wasn't a minivan, but that you somehow found the elusive twin axle rear van, which is not, that doesn't exist in the wild. Like, yeah. You got to search for that.
They didn't make a million of those, and you made the mistake, right?
Van, and if you just took a white panel van, just a full-size van, it was just white, you'd go, is that a minivan or no? It's, well, okay. I wouldn't call it a minivan, but it's just a van. But the fact that this one had custom paint and twin axles in the rear was like, that's a custom van. Drove me nuts.
Everything in this scene is 1985, except for the Aventador.
Right. The Aventador.
Which, by the way, if they would have said, hey, there's a Diablo back there, I'd be like, oh, I get it. Somebody typed an older Lamborghini, and they came up with something like
the movie, Diablo. 1985. The car, 2011.
Yeah, or after.
This guy should have used his time machine to travel to a place without AIDS. Because obviously he had one for automotive design.
Right? He was seeing the future with that.
What's wrong with everybody? Everyone should hire me. I told my wife, she told me I was an asshole. I said to her, everyone should give me $3,000 just to walk through their house. I'll just walk through your house and I'll tell you what's going on. They were taking a walk and someone's doing a bunch of work over at their house. And they had stairs. And like a house from the 20s or the 30s. And they had the stairs and they had the up inside the house, that lightweight concrete like they have in apartments. Oh, it's not Bakelite. It's a kind of a light something. Oh, it's some Marlex or something. It's a weird name for it. Anyway, they were getting ready to sand it all off. And they had an infant, I remember. And they're like, we want to take the paint down and then we're going to re-whatever. And they had like an orbital sander. And I was like, that stuff, that paint's got lead in it. And it's just going to weaponize it with that orbital sander. You're inside your house and your kid's like in the crib like 7 feet away. I was like, get some stripper. Just paint the stripper. Paint it on. Let it bubble off. Take a broad knife and scrape it. And I'm not talking about paint thinner. I'm talking about industrial stripper, the gel kind. Put some gloves on and strip it. And as a matter of fact, what are you going to do with it? And they're like, well, we're going to paint it or something. I was like, well, then don't strip it at all. Just prep it. Just, you know, scuff it with a little steel wool and tack it, hit it with some cheesecloth or whatever and get a good primer on there and just paint it as it is and encapsulate. You don't want that lead paint, whatever. And she was like, thank you, stranger. I was like, okay. And then when we left, I said to my wife, everyone should pay me $3,000 just to walk through their house.
Like, and she's like, an asshole.
She's like, what a dick. I was like, I'm telling you, the best $3,000 you ever spent. I want $5,000 to walk through your movie.
Yeah.
I will just walk through your movie and I'll point at things and go, no.
Cut. Just at the end, just like, here you go. Because we were talking, it was like, look, Dallas Buyers Club, not a huge budget, but what would it be? $3,000 of CGI taking that poster off the wall?
Yeah. It's, right? It is. I have learned just to keep my mouth shut when I watch
this
movies.
Is why.
I just boil inside. My wife doesn't. She's none the wiser.
I get right. it because you don't want right. to get fired, but I think you should say something every time.
I'll see stuff. We'll catch it. You know, there's a lot of stuff when you actually get the good dialogue. Sometimes it's because, you know, they'll ask or you see something. Like, that's not right. That's not a double pump.
It's on the director. They should ask more. Ask more.
Yeah.
Like, if you've got competent stunt guys on the set, you should, like, hey, man, what do you think of this? They'd be like, drive shaft seemed fine when he pulled up at 140.
But I will say the bar is set so high that, I mean, or so low that anyone can do it now. Meaning, if they get it right, it's so relieving. You see, they give you good dialogue on the movie or the good pictures in the book, and you go, oh my gosh, like they nailed it.
Oh, hold on. In Driven. What was the movie? Everyone loved it. I didn't like it. And
was it Drive?
Drive, and it's never on cable, as far as I can tell. It's never on cable. It stars Ryan Gosling, and it's like it's never on cable. Did you work on that?
Yeah, I did. I doubled Ryan.
I liked it. Oh, yeah, you guys
look similar. I get confused because didn't The Rock do an...
He drove,
it's like the same name.
He did a... Okay. His one was like, I'm going to avenge the death of the guy who killed my father, whatever it is. And he'd do a lot of stuff like he'd pull up into the hospital and like throw a few revs in his big block Chevelle, and then he'd get out and go, I'll be back. And then he'd like walk into the hospital and stab somebody on the eighth floor, and then he'd walk back down and get in the Chevelle and peel out in reverse and be like, I don't know, I feel like the cops...
Well, at least
I feel like at some point the cops might show up.
They didn't notice a guy who's 280 and 6'5" running through the hospital angry. But they were the same title?
They were close. In Drive, in the Cranston one, by the way, no problem with the driving itself. The problem was just in a weird... I didn't know.
To pull it there,
like,
buddy.
Yeah. Ryan Gosling lived in like a tenement slum, even though he had four jobs. And one of them was Wheelman, which I'm assuming pays pretty good.
He's been saving up for a nice condo.
But he's still living in this thing, and he's having this like love affair with the single mom, but he never talked. But at a certain point, Cranston gets hold of him, and he's like, we got a stock car. We could get it for $100,000 and put you on the circuit. And he's like, walk around the car, and he's like, paint's good, engine's good. Tires got plenty of tread on them. It's like... Tires got plenty of tread on them for the Winston Cup Series, like
for the one set that they run the whole series. Set.
Yeah, those I think they call those rollers, and also you don't want plenty of tread on your slicks because then they wouldn't be slicks anymore; nope. They'd be plenty of tread. That's a big selling point for a race car. Tires, plenty of tread. Good, because we need those tires to last us 3 seasons. And we'll be the only guys out there on wets.
On all seasons.
Everyone will be out there. We'll be out there on wets in the middle of fucking Talladega when everyone else has slicks. We'll be kicking their ass on these treads.
I didn't even remember that.
You got to see that part. It drives me insane.
So close. They're so close.
They're so close. It could serve one guy who could just... my feeling is like, why don't the actors pipe up? Like, if you're saying the tires have plenty of tread and you're dealing with a car that runs on tires that don't possess treads, and then also when you show up for a weekend, you have to have a semi-truck so they can go through all the tires that they go through, that's probably not a selling point. Couldn't somebody just go... engine's fresh, it's only got a couple hours on it, or something.
Belts are current, who knows?
Lots of spares, you know, like something that might make sense in the car world, in the race car world.
Tires are armor-alled.
Comes with a trailer.
Right, yeah.
Something. Something other than lots of tread.
Dash is shiny.
Lots of tread. Like, why don't you say, the dome light's brand new. Hey, John, 28, from Seattle.
What's going on, Ace?
What's going on, man? I'm angry.
Well, what's new?
Lots of tread. Why can't people do their job? Then I wouldn't have to be angry.
Oh, The Rock's movie was faster.
That's right.
But his name in the movie was just Driver. That's what...
That movie should have been called There Are No Cops, So I Shall Do What I Want When I Want to Do It. He would just go in and like assassinate people and then just get back in his car. And the conceit of the movie was... he's got a big block in that Chevelle, so who's really going to catch him? Just stupid. Like, well, cops have radios, right? Yeah. Like, when they just in helicopters, like when they just talk to it,
overwhelmed.
But this guy's got 500 horsepower. Like, yeah, I know, but they have radios, so they can. Not since the movie Taxi with Jimmy Fallon and Queen Latifah. Where her car, where the blower came out from under the hood and the quad exhaust dropped down.
That's a classic.
Like, what are we doing?
The body kit would secretly come down.
To me, the blower coming out of the hood and the quad exhaust tips dropping down were a bridge too far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, sorry.
Don't forget the side skirts appearing out of nowhere.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, but hold on, you two. The side skirts I could actually figure out. Like, somebody, you could rig a car to do...
No, that's happened on Pimp My Ride or something, right?
How? Active arrow. But how does a blower get bolted on or come rising up? I don't think even the great George Barris... couldn't figure out a quad exhaust that actually hooked itself up and a blower that came out of the hood that was functional.
Yeah, and that example, it gets worse because she has the blower with the big bug catcher coming out of the hood. But earlier in the movie, when somebody gets her like a gift, it's a Pro Charger centrifugal blower.
Oh.
Which doesn't use that,
that bumped,
at all. Like,
that bumped you.
That one really irritated me.
All right. The non-existent, John, car parts. Oh, you mean when they're making out and gone in 60 seconds?
Yeah. So I actually wrote down, I just listened to the clip really quick and wrote down just the stuff that he spews, and almost none of it is real.
Four-speed synchro mesh cam drive.
Hold on.
Yeah, that's one of those. Wait, we're going to watch it. That's one of those things where they just take stuff like overhead cam, synchro mesh, and rack and pinion and master cylinder, and they put it in a hopper on golf balls, and they reach out and they go, Synchromesh master cylinder. Okay, there you go. It's like, no, you can't put those two together, but they're car parts. Yeah, but they're not. They don't go together.
No.
We could put slave cylinder and master cylinder.
All right.
We could put those together. All right, let's hear
it.
Sorry.
But you haven't answered the question.
Well, you see, the problem is, how do you get over the shifter?
Oh, right, because the...
Because it gets in the way.
Because you wouldn't want to disrupt the synchro mesh. Right? Throttle linkage.
Throttle.
Windshield.
Yeah, because then run the linkage down the transmission tunnel, because it's a rear-engine car.
And it's manual.
Double overhead camshaft. Straight inline six. Triple Weber carburetors. Bolted to each other's body structures.
No. I mean, man.
Well, it's time to work.
Good brakes.
You can probably just say straight six. You probably don't say straight and then inline. Because we get it.
Right.
But but he got the triple Weber set up.
Yeah.
You know, he's probably a Z guy.
It's a manual transmission, so I don't get where the linkage would be, even the shift linkage.
Oh, he said throttle linkage.
Yeah, he said throttle linkage, which also Chris knew. This really irritated Chris when he saw it.
I know it was bad when YouTube was having trouble spelling some of that stuff.
Yeah, I saw the translation. I was like, what's a sex Weber?
Hey, John. Oh, hold on. John?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Yeah, getting angry. You got to find... Does Gary have the picture of that book with that minivan?
No. I don't think we ever found that.
Do you ever photograph it or something? I know I had to bring the book in at some point. Maybe
I know you've
we
talked
didn't
about it. I think
it.
Last time you talked about it, we had the same problem of we didn't have the photo of it, so we gotta find that book.
It's probably could find it online. It's just, you know, kids' book called, like, Trucks and What They Do, or, like, Trucks Helping You or something. We'll find it. Make a note. I'll tell you guys about Bluehost, top-rated website provider powering 2 million-plus websites. Best tool to build. Host and manage your personal or small business website. You need a website these days. God, it's so... One of the car things we found a lot is a lot of car guys aren't website guys, and you go to that website and all you want to do is find parts or current projects or something, and it's such a pain in the ass to navigate. Everybody, car guy or not, you got to get your website looking good.
Yeah.
Freedom to design your website your way, fully customizable templates and third-party app support. Simple enough for beginners and powerful enough for advanced users. Truly reliable, 99.9% uptime guarantee and auto updates. Maximum security, malware monitoring and protection, and automatic secure WordPress installs. Plus 24/7 tech support. So save 50% when you sign up at Bluehost.com/carcast. Get the break, 50% off. Bluehost, just how it's spelled, .com/carcast.
Yep.
All right. Somebody says the DeLorean from Back to the Future can't get up to 88 miles an hour. But that's untrue.
That it DeLorean, was modified.
Yeah, with about 1,000 pounds worth of junk. But that thing's got a DeLorean.
What's the top speed on a DeLorean?
I think that thing had an Opel V8 or something in it. Like, that thing was a slug.
They had Volvo drivetrains in
I think
some
it was six
of them.
Cylinder.
Oh, it was a six. Well, was it Volvo? We've got to find out what's in that
car. I'll check that out. But I
Googled
for some DeLorean,
reason that Opel.
Yeah. I Googled DeLorean top speed, and it says that all DeLorean cars...
Hold on. They got to get to one. Those cars have to get to one.
98.
No, they got to get like 116.
Well, the speedometers end at 85.
Oh, really?
But the top speed is actually over 100.
So, okay, but that's not uncommon because most like Fox Body Mustangs had an 85 mile an hour speedometer, and you had to get like
that was probably
the Celine Celine or the Cobra to get to 140
right
speedometer.
Hey, Jason.
Yes.
So the DeLorean can get past 85.
The premise of the movie was that it was easily attainable for it to hit 88, and that thing had like 130 horsepower on its best day out of like a Renault V6.
Well,
and it was like 4,000 pounds of stainless steel.
Oh, yeah, maybe it was a Renault. Yeah, I get you. But see, here's the thing. You got to go along with the fantasy. Whereas Ghost Rider, that was based on a true story. Okay? That was almost like a documentary.
They
had to dub over 928 engine sound so that the car actually sounded...
Oh, really?
Like it had real power. But, yeah, they're pathetic.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah,
that's a good point. The sounds in movies that really will irk me. In Drive, for example, you see him, and I remember when we shot it. I thought we're not going very fast because we were going through traffic. I said, "Do you guys want me like rip through traffic?" He said, no. You're just kind of trying to blend in. Okay, that's fine. We'll do that. I get that. So we're watching the movie and we're blending in with traffic, and the sound is like we're on the front straight at Laguna, but we're going the same speed as everyone else. And then the other sound in Drive that also bugged me was we're going backwards in reverse. We flip it around, and we're going reverse, and now it's shifting gears in reverse.
Oh man.
Drives me nuts.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Also,
what kind of car was it? What was he driving in?
That was a couple different cars.
Wasn't it?
He had an old Chevelle, like a 75, Chevelle. Like the ugly Chevelles. He had like 75 Chevelle, and then he also had at the time, a newer Mustang.
And also the sound of Gosling not talking was bothersome in that movie, too, because he's the star of the movie.
He should have talked over the engine noises when it reversed, shifting to six reverse gears.
He refused to speak. Where's Cranston selling them the stock car with the plenty of tread on the tires? Oh, God. So, what do you have in your collection?
My daily driver is an E36 M3.
Oh, nice.
I like it because it's somewhat pedestrian. It kind of blends in.
Yeah.
I don't like the flashy kind of stuff, but it's the guys who know what they are can appreciate them. I ride a motorcycle a lot. We got an Aprilia, a couple other bikes. My wife and I just picked up a 72 Bronco. She said that she would actually work on it if we got a project together. So we have spent the last few nights in the garage, which has been amazing, seeing her Laura Croft it out and getting dirty. I've taken pictures.
All you do is take the pictures. Got nothing done on the car.
Yeah, I'm totally distracted by this super hot girl crawling under the hood of this truck, you know, pulling the headers out. It's amazing.
She popped the hood. She's like double pumper with a high rise.
You ruined it. Oh, so close, honey. No, but it's funny. I'm teaching her all this stuff, and I'm realizing part of it is I don't want her to sound like either an idiot by saying the wrong thing or just not knowing at all. I want, when people ask what's under the hood, her to be able to say it's got a 351 Windsor under it with, you know,
well, here's the thing, all people listening. Don't announce you're a car guy or car gal and then not know jack squat about anything, because it's like if you stand next to me or any of us, it's like you're standing next to guys who are really into Civil War reenactments, and then you announce you're a expert on the Civil War, in which case I'm going to go, what's your favorite battle? And if you go like, I don't know the names, like, then you're going to lose a little credibility.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
don't announce you're a Civil War expert. Announce that you're fascinated by the Civil War, but you don't know anything about it, and maybe you could tell me something about it. Because I got picked up in Vegas by like a cab driver, and he's like, what kind of car? He said, are you a car guy? I said, yeah, I'm a car guy. I said, I'm a car guy. First off, they're a car guy, but their car's kind of a piece of shit. And he said, I think he had like a Chevelle, or maybe it's like a Malibu or something. And I'm like, What do you got in there? And I think it was a 409 or something like that. And 409 would have come in a Chevy 409. Anyway, it's an Impala, an old Impala. And I think, and he said it had a 409 in there. And I said, oh, all right, you work on it? He's like, yeah, I work on it. I said, well, what do you got for carburation on that car? And he's like, I don't know. Like, you don't know? You don't know who makes the carburetor or, like, what size it is? Or is it a four-barrel? Yeah. Like, you just don't know?
It'd be like, one thing if you didn't know what brand spark plugs he had in, or by something way, like that.
Your question was generic enough, he could have given four different types of answers. You know, like you said, like CFM or brand or, you know,
could
four
have said Holly double pumper with a high rise, yep. And I wouldn't have said, where's your house from here? It's in Laughlin. I'd be like, well, turn this hack around and we're going. We're going to verify. Like, no, I like it wouldn't have ever happened. I just would have nodded my head. That would have been it.
Yeah, all he had to do was say throttle linkage or something.
That's right.
Throttle linkage. Yeah, linkage with the synchro mesh. All right, Max Mack, can you find that scene? And why is that?
I'm looking.
Why is that? All right, there's two things about Drive. First off, total vindication from me, because that movie is a boring piece of shit. The driving was awesome.
The driving
awesome.
Was great.
The driving was fantastic. The
story was horrible. And I announced this movie was horrible 4 years ago, and everyone's like, oh, no. It's 95% on Rotten Tomatoes. The director of that movie does not own a driver's license and is foreign. So what the fuck's he know about driving over here on the streets in the American muscle? So that guy, he literally is like a 40-year-old guy, didn't own a driver's license. So obviously not an enthusiast, and it comes through when you hear him talk about how much tread is on those race slicks. that was number one. But number two, it stars Ryan Gosling, arguably one of the biggest matinee idol draws in the world right now, and it never shows up on cable. It's not in any kind of loop at all.
Yeah, it dissolved from my memory.
Because there's no audio clips of him in the movie.
He doesn't speak, so that probably hurt. Yeah. He holds a toothpick and he just kind of looks at people. He has seven jobs and he lives in a tenement slum. Jesus Christ.
But he's a good driver.
He's a good driver. He drives and he goes faster in reverse.
Well, when you have five speeds to go in reverse.
When he's getting chased, he'll do a move where he e-brakes it, flips it in reverse, and then, you know, mows through those gears in reverse until he hits overdrive, man.
Jeremy planned all of that.
He went backwards to go faster, right?
Well, now, yeah, that doesn't make sense. It's hard to tell in the movie. It was the second director, good friend of mine, amazing, amazing guy, very talented. He came up with the sequence, and there was a reason for it. And it kind of got cut together in a way you couldn't tell. The idea was that the car chasing him keeps hitting him in the side, or hits him once or twice, and he sees it coming, and he's so good, he's going to kind of ole him and do like a reverse 180 so he misses him.
Right.
So that puts him in reverse. And then, so there was a reason behind it. I mean, in reality, you would kill your speed. It wouldn't make sense. But there was a rhyme to the reason, but it's still in the
Did you guys film that spinning, and it wasn't in the film?
No, it's in there, but it just cuts
it's
so fast.
Lost,
I think
yeah.
you lose the idea. And the other thing is when he's going backwards, the idea is he's going backwards, and he sees in his rearview mirror this turn. And the idea is that the guy he hits him once and hits him twice. And the idea is he's about to hit him another time, nose to nose, and he's gaining on him really fast. And Ryan sees this turn and goes, all right, he's catching me fast. I see this turn. He whips it around, reverse 270 drift, goes around the corner. But now the guy's going too fast, overshoots and crashes. So there's a reason for it all, but it's not communicated.
You should do the DVD commentary.
I got to say, you should. I like the renaissance of car stuff in there.
Yes.
I feel like there's just so many movies with so much car stuff going on that I mean, maybe it's just me, but I feel like more car movies, more scenes with more car stuff going on in the last 8 years than 20 years going up into it. It's like a lot of boat houses and people staring at each other asking, you know, Penny for your thoughts. And maybe Fast and Furious has gotten into
it. I think
that's
a huge reason. I mean, I'm not a fan of the CG stuff that the Fast shows are so full of. I don't like that. And that being said, I think they've done a great job of kind of revitalizing this car, the car attraction. And one thing about Baby Driver that I liked is that there's really no CG in it. What you see is what we did. It's not sped up. There's none of that.
It looks amazing. I had drinks with Chris Morgan, Fast and Furious guy, this weekend, actually last weekend, and they got the spinoff.
I know. He told me. You don't want to give it all away. He's going to come in.
Can't give it away, but there's a plot line. He wants to run past me. So
it's funny. He was asking me car questions. He's like, "What would you like to see as a Fast and Furious fan?" I was like, "Thank you for asking. How much time do you have?" We sat down for like an hour and a half during fight night.
Well, they're finally asking the right guy some of these questions, huh?
Yeah. Well, they got diesel on hand, so
yeah.
It's pretty much covered. All right. My bookie. Where you're going to bet is just important. Is who you're betting on. That's why we go to mybookie.ag. Been in the business for years. The reputation is rock solid. 100% cash bonuses and the fastest payouts. Just two business days. In-game, live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and an all-new mobile site that makes wagering go like a breeze. Super easy. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to 100% bonus. So use the promo code CARCAST. That's how you activate the offer. And you join now, and you use the promo code, and they'll match your deposit with up to 100% bonus. So MyBookie.ag. Go there today. You play. You win. You get paid. Super easy. MyBookie.ag, and let them know CarCast sent you. Jeremy Fry, everybody. We'll have to do this again. This has been fun. I had no idea how angry I was about all these,
What's
movies.
What's next, though? Like, what are you working on next
that's
that we
good
should be
question.
Looking forward to? Or what have you worked on that's coming out next?
I worked on a show that's coming out on Netflix it's called Wheelman. When you're called and told, hey, we want you to double the lead in an actor or in a show with an actor who plays a getaway driver, and it's all about this one getaway, you get excited about all the driving you're going to do.
Yeah, and it's Netflix.
But it was great.
He's an Amish dairy farmer who makes wagon wheels, and when his gay lover never comes home,
it never went
ensues.
Over seven. It never
Wheel
went
man.
Over seven.
Yeah, wardrobe brings me my overalls. I'm like, all right, well. It was good. The way they shot it was unique, but it was all kind of in and around the car, so it was all the actor. So I did do a lot of pod driving in that car, in that show. So that's coming out. I did Black Panther. We went to South Korea for a big sequence in Black Panther, so that's coming out. There's always something coming up. Sometimes you work on little things, sometimes big things. But
so Black Panther's coming out when...
Good question. I don't know. I've been saying a while.
But that's going to be a big one?
Yeah.
It's a big Marvel. It's huge.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a superhero movie. It's, it's got a lot of CG in it. So,
the guy directing that is the guy who directed Creed.
February 2018. Hold on. Now, they didn't really jump the supercar from building to building in Dubai. You're telling me that was cooked?
I got to be quiet.
Don't
on
ruin
that one.
It for me.
If he wants Fast 9, he better not bring it up.
Yeah.
All right, Jeremy Fry, and what you can do, how do people contact you, or do you care?
I don't know if they'd want to, but Instagram.
Instagram.
JFry.
JFry, man. Have fun with the wife and the Bronco.
Thanks.
And me, live shows coming up Chicago, Park West. Always good there. September 23rd, it's a one-man show, stand up. Then Minneapolis Music Hall, October 13th, October 14th, Nashville. Go to amcroll.com. We got live shows everywhere and all sorts of buck slips and mugs and everything you need. And Corolla Drinks, man, go check that out. Say hi to Lynette. She's running the show. And go to chassis.com. Get some of our movies, 24-Hour War, Winning the Racing Life, Paul Newman, and King of the Underdogs and The Bug and all sorts of good stuff coming up there. So just go check that out. Until next time, Adam Carolla for Jeremy Fry and Matt the Motor DeAndre, Matt the Motorator DeAndrea saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.